And by Flavelle International University, offering a fascinating online Bachelor of Arts degree in the Great Books. Financial aid available. More at flavelleonline.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 14th of May, 2007. Today is the 400th anniversary of the establishment of Jamestown Colony, the first permanent English settlement in America, which hoped to find gold or silver or a river route to the Pacific Ocean, but which found a swamp full of mosquitoes and caught malaria, dysentery. Then somebody accidentally started a fire that burned down all the living quarters. 400 of them starved to death. And then, instead of gold, they focused on growing tobacco, which was very profitable, and it attracted more investors and more settlers. It was John Rolfe who introduced that new type of tobacco plant from the West Indies, who later married the Princess Pocahontas. By 1619, Jamestown was thriving. It formed a general assembly elected by the citizens, and in the same year, a ship arrived in Jamestown carrying 50 African slaves for work in the tobacco fields. It was the birthplace of democracy, and it was also the birthplace of slavery. It was on this day in 1796 that Dr. Edward Jenner inoculated an 8-year-old boy with a vaccine for smallpox. It was the first safe vaccine ever developed. Smallpox was a devastating, very contagious disease, caused boils to break out all over the body, killed about 1 in every 4 adults who caught it, 1 in every 3 children, and during the 18th century alone killed about 60 million people. Jenner submitted a paper about inoculation to the Royal Society of London, but it was rejected, so he published it at his own expense in a 75-page book, which came out in 1798. The book was a huge sensation, the first time anyone had successfully prevented the infection of any contagious disease. And it was on this day in 1804 that Lewis and Clark set out from St. Louis on their expedition overland to the Pacific coast and back. Meriwether Lewis wrote in his journal, "We were now about to penetrate a country at least 2,000 miles in width, on which the foot of civilized man had never trodden. I could but esteem this moment of my departure as among the most happy of my life." Here's a poem for today by Stephen Dunn entitled Sweetness. Just when it has seemed I couldn't bear one more friend waking with a tumor, one more maniac with a perfect reason, often a sweetness has come and changed nothing in the world except the way I stumbled through it, for a while lost in the ignorance of loving someone or something. The world shrunk to mouth size, hand size, and never seeming small. I acknowledge there is no sweetness that doesn't leave a stain, no sweetness that's ever sufficiently sweet. Tonight, a friend called to say his lover was killed in a car he was driving. His voice was low and guttural. He repeated what he needed to repeat, and I repeated the 1 or 2 words we have for such grief until we were speaking only in tones. Often a sweetness comes, as if on loan, stays just long enough to make sense of what it means to be alive, then returns to its dark source. As for me, I don't care where it's been or what bitter road it's traveled to come so far, to taste so good. A poem by Stephen Dunn, Sweetness, from his new and selected poems, 1979 to 1997, published by W.W. Norton and used by permission here in the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Gift subscriptions are available at poetrymagazine.org. And by R.B.C. Dane Rauscher. For almost 100 years, R.B.C. Dane Rauscher's financial consultants have worked hard to make investing work for their clients. More information at rbcdane.com. Produced by Robert McGinley Myers. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.